Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Just how deflating was last night to the St. Louis Blues, where a lot fell their way. Game one, you go on the road, you want to get off to a fast start. Well, they did that. After the Cale Makar miscue, is Ryan O'Reilly getting on the board? You probably need your goaltender to stand on his head. Well, Binnington became the fourth different goaltender in Blues history to record 50 saves or more in a postseason game. Took them to overtime. The Avs had five shots ring off the post or the crossbar, and they still won. And I'm just curious what type of punch to the stomach that is. And to discuss it further, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joins us courtesy of Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Troy, your takeaway from the dynamics of game one.
Yeah, I mean, they dominated in every way, but they let them hang around, and they had that bad shift change that led to the tie right before, right at the end of the third. To see Kemper play the way he did is encouraging. To see their aggressiveness offensively, it reminded me a lot of, I think it was game two against Nashville, where they dominated the game and then it was still close late. So, you know, given their time off, I thought they looked good. They came out hot. They needed to get 3-1 and they would have won easily going away. And I don't, whether you say it's bad luck, bad aim, whatever, it's unusual to have five posts in a game. So, encouraging. That would have been a very, let's be honest, that would have been a crowbar to the shins if you lose that when you look at the overall numbers if you're the Avs. So, you know, it's going to be greasy sometimes, and you take it. You take the win and move on.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. You know, when you, especially when you get the win, you make the mistakes, costly mistakes, but you're able to battle through the adversity and figure it out and get a W. What's your expectations moving forward in this series?
Yeah, I said yesterday with the guys on the afternoon with Tyler and D-Mac, I see the Blues more as an annoyance than a team that can beat them, but I still think it can go six because the Blues are so dynamic offensively. They're really good on the power play. So would it surprise me if they snuck two games, especially if their goalie, you know, if he's won a title, if he plays anything like that, these games are going to be very competitive. But I just, for me, if the Avs are going to win this series, it's just the issue of five or six. I say six because I respect St. Louis. They've been there and won it a couple years ago. And they're just a really dynamic offensive team, so they're dangerous. But the Avs are going to, for me, the Avs just, they still match up better. And Makar did not play well. It's the first time we've seen that.
Right.
He had 10 points against Nashville in four games. He's going to play obviously much better. He just had one of those nights.
And we still haven't seen Mikko get on the board. I mean, which is unusual. You think of the scoring outputs of just the first round alone. So we're still waiting on that. See if we can get that in game two. In terms of the trust factor right now with this club, did it increase after game one? Is it the same? Is there still a layer of skepticism with the Avs here in the second round?
Well, they still have to do it. But as Brandon said, when you make mistakes and still win, that's a great sign for a team because you start to feel text or snake bitten when you play great and then make one mistake and lose. And you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. And they won a fairly low-scoring game, and that's not something that they've been able to consistently do in the playoffs the last few years. When it got a little ugly and it got chippy and it got all those things, could they win like that? And Kemper kept them in the game. Because, you know, if you have a bad night with Kemper, you lose that game 2-1. And so my confidence in them remains the same as it did entering the playoffs. Anything less than being in the Stanley Cup Finals would be a huge disappointment, just given how immensely talented this team is.
Thanks, our listeners in Denver making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Go ahead, Stoke.
This guy, so Troy, I'm just sorry for the rudeness of my partner here. Hey, what's going on with the Broncos right now, Troy? What kind of phase are they in? What's happening with the Denver Broncos right now?
Yeah, it's phase two of the off season. So it's phase two of Boca Vista where they put the extra apartment complex in. And I mean, the way the NFL does this is so weird.
It's unbelievable.
It's phase two. And the significance of it is that the rookies mixed now in with the veterans. And again, we point to the big date, June 13th to the 15th, mandatory minicamp. But they're still doing all that, you know, you've lived at Stoke, a little bit of install, a little bit of conditioning. I mean, it's just piecemeal it through. Again, the one thing I've been encouraged by, both when I'm out there and talking to players, the energy level and the teaching dynamics of this staff have been as promised. You know, Nate Hackett as a presenter might even be better than they thought, and he came in with a sterling reputation. So that's encouraging. We got to see it on what it looks like on Sunday under the bright lights, but the energy and the way they've leaned into innovation and, you know, technology and all that, and it fits, let's be honest, it fits perfect with your quarterback's attitude, who runs around like he's on the JV trying to make the varsity. That's a good thing in the way that Nate Hackett's trying to incorporate this new culture, that your best player has complete buy-in.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, we have been, I guess, for the last day here, debating behind the scenes. Is Russell Wilson, in your opinion, a Hall of Famer right now?
He's probably right at the number. You know, I mean, you can make a case because, and again, quarterback's the one position for Hall of Fame as far as I can tell. I don't vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm a baseball voter. Pro Football Hall of Fame is, you know what, 48 guys in a room who debate it, and writers present cases for players, which to me is really odd. But
it is odd, by the way. I agree with you.
It's the dynamics. That's why baseball, we just vote. They literally still send us a letter and we mail it back, or you can email. But you're not in, you don't have to talk to anybody. It's literally like voting in an election. But to the point about quarterbacks is that is the one thing, based on my study of the game, it is linked to Super Bowls and championships. And he has that. He's been to 2 and 1-1. That's important. Because if your numbers are a little shy, that's why Eli Manning will eventually get in. And his numbers aren't necessarily Hall of Fame numbers. He's going to get in because he won 2 Super Bowls. I guarantee you he'll get in. And he'll probably get in before a Phillip Rivers would. But for me, Wilson's probably a couple years shy. I mean, but I just don't know how he won't put up crazy numbers, especially over like the next 3 years, to make it very obvious he's a Hall of Famer. To me, guys, he's a modern-day Roger Staubach. Now, we'll see if he still scrambles with purpose and runs, but that's who I saw him as. Like, his first 5, 6 years of his career, 7 years, he reminded me growing up watching Roger Staubach. That's the kind of player he was, and he had that clutch gene, you know, on the long ball. And so I think he's right on the number, but he's going to need a couple more years.
All right, Troy, great stuff as always. We appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you this time next week, hopefully reacting to Avalanche getting out of the second round. Enjoy the rest of it, man.
You got it. I will. Take care, guys. See you.
All right, there he goes. It's our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy of ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. I want to get your response to that question, too, because I think we all agree Russell Wilson is going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I don't think a rational football mind would disagree with that, but is he right now? I think that's a fun question here. I want to get your response to that here shortly. But first, Bleacher Report.
Do you want to apologize for being so rude?
I
asked you, like, who do you want to go and talk, and you pointed to me, and so I was like, okay, I'll take this over because you failed to give the tagline we're supposed to give, and you forget about it, and Dante has to tell you like 10 different times. So I'm like, I'll just take this over. I got this. And I even communicated that. And so I went to go do it because you told me to do it. And then you just couldn't help yourself.
But
people don't see that. You know, people think I'm the bad guy here, and I'm so hard on Zach. You know, call him off the carcass for you.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, seriously. Do you have that? You can't operate the iPad if you don't know where to go whenever we need something.
See, wait, call him off the carcass.
There you go.
There he is.
Our guy.
That's my guy.
Yeah, your guy.
My guy.
Loves you.
Okay.
I'm mean to you.
Bleacher Report isolated one veteran that could help every Super Bowl contender. The Broncos are on that short list. What veteran did they pick? Get to that next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Bleacher Report.
They'll run first, already sweating it. Unbelievable. I'm just saying, you know, 3-2, Yeah, Freeland gets the opening guy, the leadoff out. Next guy, walk. Next guy, 0-2. You know, a little blooper to center. First and second now. Just can never not sweat these. Bad start. Bad start by Freeland. Go ahead. Sorry. But people are rocking with us. They need updates. They want to know where we're at. Gotta give updates.
No runs first inning, which we cashed last week, right?
Yes.
So we're 1-2.
1-2.
Collectively. Freeland's on the mound. He's got a runner on first and second.
Need a double play.
The Rockies are on a Chiefs-like losing streak to the Giants. They have not beaten the Giants now in 12 consecutive games.
Like Broncos Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's remarkable in Major League Baseball.
It is.
To lose that many games to a division team. I mean,
it's hard to do.
Come on. The Giants are solid, but they're not. It's not like you're playing the Dodgers.
That'd be more digestible.
Right. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And they lost again last night, lost two nights ago. We'll see.
Yeah. Rockies are in pretty dangerous territory here.
It's sinking quick, man. It is.
All right.
The party was fun while it lasted, but the party is now over. We enjoyed it, though.
It was fun. We told y'all.
I mean, it wasn't like we thought the Rockies were going to the playoffs, but at the same time, enjoy the moment we did. Now it's come crashing down in a hurry.
In the 12 games that they lost.
And Phil Fly. There we go. Get it called. There we go. Two away.
They've been outscored 95-41 in the 12-game stretch. Oof. It's tied for the Rockies' second longest losing streak
against
a single team in franchise history.
95 to...
And you mentioned the Dodgers. The Colorado Rockies also lost 12 straight to the Dodgers back in 2018-19. To find the franchise record for most consecutive losses, 16 consecutive losses to the Atlanta Braves in the 93-94 season. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I said going into the last break that Bleacher Report isolated one veteran that could help every Super Bowl contender. Now, first of all, the Broncos are on the short list of Super Bowl contenders. 9 of them.
Love it.
And they did it by the odds. It wasn't like an opinion. They took like the 9 most favored teams to win the Super Bowl. And by the way, there is a lot of veteran free agents in the NFL still just kind of hanging out there. And like an unusual amount of NFL veteran free agents.
I think when you get to this point, you haven't signed, what happens? Teams start looking at their rookies and their young players. They want to get a look at them. If you bring these veterans in, well, the veterans take reps away from the young guys.
Right.
So they want to take a look at their rookies for a little bit. Sometimes that happens all the way into training camp before they end up, you know, signing a veteran guy. Injuries. Yep. This young guy's just not quite ready. Then they sign the veteran guy. But they want to take a look at the cheaper, younger player right now.
We see this every year. I'm just not used to seeing this amount of names.
Yeah,
on that list. Some big names. So they isolated the 9 Super Bowl contenders first and foremost, and they did it by the odds. So here are the 9 Super Bowl contenders. Buffalo, Tampa, Kansas City, Green Bay, the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, the Browns, and the Broncos. There's your 9 Super Bowl contenders.
Okay.
By the odds. A couple of fun ones, 2 fun ones to throw at you before the Broncos pick. For the Green Bay Packers, they said the one veteran that can help that group get across the finish line is Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay.
And I really liked that fit. I think Emmanuel would do well in Green Bay.
Agree. I mean, you know, you got the young rookie there that they just drafted. They brought in Sammy Watkins, who I think is much overrated, especially now in his career.
Except for week one. He always goes nuts week one.
Then he taps out.
Yeah. And the receiver you're talking about, Christian Watson in the second round from North Dakota State, maybe?
Yes. A speedster, big guy. And so you look at it, you know, adding a guy like Emmanuel Sanders with Aaron Rodgers. I thought we were going to have Aaron Rodgers a year or so ago. But Slayer told us that. But Bueller.
For Tampa.
There you go, Kyle! Mid first, no damage. No damage right there. got him with the high heat. Love it. So, but Aaron Rodgers, Emmanuel Sanders, I think there's still something left in the tank with Emmanuel.
I agree.
Seems like it would be a good fit there in Green Bay. So, yes.
Agreed. For Tampa to get the Buccaneers across the finish line as a Super Bowl favorite, the one isolated veteran, or the veteran that Bleacher Report isolated, former Bronco as well, inside linebacker.
Oh, I saw this one. Now you're ringing a bell. AJ.
Alexander Johnson.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay, very interesting.
Yeah. He's still on the street.
Still on the street.
Didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yeah. The Broncos made a choice. They picked Josie Jewell.
Younger.
Yeah.
Both guys got hurt last year. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, George overpaid for Josie. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, that's not even, I mean, it's a fact. Because you see inside linebackers' contracts after, and they did that deal early.
They did it early. I think to get out ahead, maybe thinking that they were doing themselves a favor. And then
misplayed
you see,
that one.
See the way the landscape aged?
Not well. Josie needs to play well.
Yeah, agreed. When it came to the Denver Broncos, Bleacher Report, the veteran that they isolated that could help the Broncos as a Super Bowl contender, was Akeem Hicks.
Chicago Bears. Defensive lineman, probably in the 3-4, would play that defensive end spot. I don't know. He probably could play the nose tackle also right over the center.
Yep.
But more likely, maybe defensive end fit. I mean, guy's good against the run. He's a really good player. He's been a really good player. Now, I know he was banged up a little bit last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He could stay healthy, but you're talking about just a one-year deal. I don't know. 1 year, $3 million, maybe with incentives. You're going to have some playing time incentives there because – you know, if he stays healthy and he's on the football field, you know, you reward the guy like that. But I would love that. Add more depth to your defensive line, especially with a name like that and a player like that that's had a lot of success in this league, a veteran player, and can play at a really, really high level. I love it.
So do I. I just wonder if the Broncos will actually swing for that one. We've talked about it. We brought him up. They're like, hey, this guy's still on the street. He's super stout with the run. I know that the Broncos did sign DJ Jones, 3 years, $30 million. But I'm thinking about both of those guys in the middle and what that could look like. Really intriguing.
Yeah, it just brings you more versatility there. And, you know, you're talking about just a one-year deal. You're not a three-year deal. That's what you're signing for. If not, then you just don't worry about it.
Right.
Just kind of move on.
Right.
So, but I think that would be a good signing.
Do you think that they're done?
That conversation's going on right now in the middle of the inning between Buddy and the umpire. What's going on here? It feels like the replay last night. Like, what's going on? How can we have a replay last night? How can we be having conversations with Blue right now? What, are we going to give them an extra run or something? Like, what are we doing here?
Buddy Black looks like he's trying to get tossed from
now
this
we,
one.
Now we got, it's a nice day. Might have a tee time. 2 o'clock tee time. I'm going to get tossed early here, Blue. Looks like Blue's talking to the... I don't know, the field manager or the grounds crew or something. I mean, I don't know what's going on out there.
Why did he just shake hands with the catcher? Did you just see that?
Yeah. Something, I think the catcher slid him 50 or 100. Did you see that?
No, seriously. He literally just shook hands with the catcher.
That's what they always do.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they're all buddy-buddy. You know, I mean, that's kind of how you do it. I mean, those are your guys. Catchers protect umpires.
Yeah, no, I got that.
No, I don't think you do.
I don't think you do.
I don't think you understand. Let me walk you through this because... You don't
always bounce off your face mask. Let me go pick my nose over here while you gather yourself. Like,
let me just help you out here. Well, then why seem shocked that they shook hands?
Do they shake hands before every game?
Most of them do. Yes, most of them do, Zach.
Okay, so you personally regularly see that, the umpire and the catcher shaking hands.
Yes, Zach. If you pay attention close to eyes, I don't believe you. To stuff that goes on before the first inning and in between the first inning, you would see that like I see that a lot.
I don't believe you.
Well, that's...
Like you sitting down on the glass. Not relating the glare.
Oh, no!
Oh, gosh.
You got to be... Charlie went deep on it. Oh, two! Another L. Unbelievable. Got clean in the first, and it's hard to root against the Rockies not scoring.
Oh, my gosh.
But Charlie, 0-2 pitch. 0-2 pitch.
That is hilarious.
0-2. Just, I mean.
Wow.
Hit a laser over the right field fence.
Right in the bullpen.
1-3.
1-3 as a show. First inning, no runs.
Man. Okay.
We are going to circle back to the Avalanche here in just about
looked
15.
Like a circle change there, just hung a little bit, and Charlie made him pay.
We're going to circle back to the Avs here momentarily, but in the meantime, Stoke, Thursday night football in Denver, week 5, just got a little bit more interesting. Guess who's coming home?
Mama.
Details next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Thursday night football in Denver, week 5. It's got a little bit more interesting. How much more is debatable. But did you see the news yesterday that Philip Lindsay is signing with the Indianapolis Colts?
Saw it. I did. So good for him. I was happy for him. I think like most of us are. He's in that spot in his career as a running back, and he's a little bit on life support.
He got there quick.
That's the NFL. You know what it stands for, right?
What have you done for me lately, League?
Correct.
By the way, if you want a t-shirt that says NFL, what have you done for me lately, League, with Stokely's signature on it, yeah, you can head to denverfan.com/store. Limited edition while supplies last.
I am.
Stokely's signature, NFL, what have you done for me lately, League
t-shirt.
That's
what it's all about. I mean, it happens very quickly, and it can, you know, you look at a guy like that. I mean, his first 2 years, over 1,000.
Back to back.
Next thing you know, you're just, you know, a couple years later, you're looking for a job. And it hasn't been injuries, right? It's just been not taking advantage quite of the opportunities that you had, maybe. And you start bouncing around, and guess what? They start drafting new running backs.
Yep.
And they want to give those guys opportunities. And so it's, and the Rockies are going to Rocky. Bad start to the second by Freeland after they scored 2 in the first.
Well, I love to see it because it's a Coors Day game, and the rule
nobody
is
nobody cares. No, I don't want no. I,
a Coors
cares.
Day game.
Nobody cares. Do we lost the
you
first
bet the
inning.
Over?
We lost the first inning, no runs. So, I don't. You know.
But Phil, dude, Phil was 2018, 1,000 yards. 2019, 1,000 yards. 2020, he gets banged up. He misses 5-6 games. He goes for 500 yards. And then it was 2020 where he was just super ineffective.
And he was
two different stops. He was with the Houston Texans. That's where he started the season, and he finished it in Miami.
Miami. Okay.
Scored one total touchdown, ran the ball 88 total times. He averaged, and this is maybe the most concerning thing, Philip Lindsay last season averaged 2.8 yards per carry. His first year in the NFL, want to know his carry mark was? In 15 games, nearly 200 carries.
Let me guess, 5.3.
5.4.
Ah.
Darn close. The next year, with 224 carries, career high, 4.5 yards per carry. First 2 years are just...
Man.
And it's funny because we have a newer producer, Dante Gomez, who's not from the area, he's from Arizona. And yesterday after the show, we're like circling back to like stuff that we know that we want to talk about tomorrow. And I'm like, Philip Lindsay, and his response is like, you want to have a conversation about Philip Lindsay? I was like, oh, dude, and it's impossible to know if you weren't here. Philip Lindsay was the biggest star in this town when he came out of the gates. In all the four pro sports, no star was popular in Denver in 2018 than Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, more popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, you forgot the more. There wasn't.
He was a star.
He had the hair.
Yes.
He had the swag. Local kid that makes it big, undrafted. I mean, he had the story. Oh, by the way, he's living with his parents. You know, it's just unbelievable.
The story,
the whole
right?
thing. The whole thing
living
was unbelievable.
Living with his parents from Denver East, goes to CU. They honored the scholarship. He becomes a star. Then they don't invite him to the combine. Then the Broncos tell him that they're going to draft him. And they don't draft him.
Yep.
They drafted David Williams in the 7th round, a running back from like South Carolina or Arkansas. So and then he flames out. He chooses the Broncos. He got an offer from all 32 teams, remember, to come to camp. He chooses the Broncos because he doesn't have to pay rent. He was going to go to Baltimore.
Baltimore.
So he lives in his parents' basement and drives the Broncos practice every day. and takes the job and then becomes a 1,000-yard rusher. And you remember they like sent him to the Pro Bowl and stuff? They had him doing like he was like an NFL name and yes. No one more popular here. Then he follows it up the season with another 1,000 yards.
And he's looking to get paid.
Looking to get paid. John Elway famously said, "Well, we're going to take a look at that." And then they paid the position. They just didn't pay him. And they bring in Melvin Gordon. And then you have the, I don't know what you would call their thing, the like subliminal heat between the two. Like there was the dynamic, there was a rift there that wasn't healthy. And ultimately it results in Philip Lindsay's departure and Melvin somehow still here.
Yeah.
Crazy, the whole thing, the whole arc of the story.
Now he's in Indy.
And now he's in Indy.
Signed there yesterday. We will be facing them week what?
Week 5, Thursday Night Football.
At home?
At home.
At home. Really cool. Definitely a huge storyline if you're a Broncos fan. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson returning to Seattle is a big storyline for Broncos fans. It is the first game of the year. That's a huge storyline. Russell Wilson being our quarterback's a huge storyline. There was one aspect of that I didn't think about when we were ranking the games there. But certainly, Philip Lindsay returning to Mile High? Yes, that's a huge storyline. And I think a lot of Broncos fans will be watching that to see how it trains. Now, he's got to make the football team.
I was going to say, he's going to have to make the team. And even if he makes the team, he'll likely be the third back behind who looks like a generational talent in Jonathan Taylor. And then a speedster, Nyheim Hines.
That's their third
NC
down
State,
back.
I think, yes. For a couple of years ago.
So that's their change of pace back, yep. And their third down back, and guy that can do
he
a
can
nice
put
job.
Put his foot in the ground and go, man.
After in the receiving game. So, yeah, he would not see the field that much. But injuries happen. You never know. You never know what it looks
that's
like.
That's how Jonathan Taylor was on the field so early, because the guy in front of him, who was a Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack.
Goes down, next thing you know, Jonathan Taylor takes the league by storm. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, how much will he be on the field? Not sure. But I am still from afar rooting for Phil Lindsay and for him just to have a healthy NFL career. Is he someone's starter? Probably not. You know, could he be a number two? Yeah, maybe. But he needs to get back to that 2018-2019 form, because 2021 just was not a good year for Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, he's got to find a bounce back year here. He's just got to find a bounce back year to be able to get this thing headed back in the right direction if he wants to stay around. Is he not great in the passing game?
It hurts
he's
him.
He's not great.
It hurts him.
He profiles to be that third down back, but he's just not, that's not what he does great. So now what do? You're the second guy, but you're not great on third down. What kind of role does that leave you at the running back position? It's just really, really hard. But hopefully he stays healthy, and then if a guy gets hurt in front of him, he'll get opportunities and does a good job with them. And hopefully he can last, you know, just stay around another 3-4 years. I mean, that's right now, that would be great if he could last in the NFL another 3 or 4 years.
It would be. But also, it would not be shocking if someone from the future 3 years from now came back and said, hey, I've been to the future. Philip Lindsay's no longer in the NFL. That wouldn't shock me either. We're not rooting for that to happen, but he feels like his career is sort of on a brink.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
It could go either way. I mean, you saw a couple teams with Houston, Miami. Was that last year?
Yeah.
And then now, you know, he didn't have a team for a while. Got picked up by a team that has Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines.
Yep.
In front of him. So, look, you're fighting to make the team if you're Philip Lindsay. All of a sudden, a young guy that didn't get drafted or whatever, starts playing well, they're just going to send you back to Colorado.
Right.
That's how this works. So things have now got to go his way, but I think it's we're all pulling for him here, obviously, and hopefully he gets that opportunity and he does well with it.
I just remember that first year, man. I just remember that first year. It was week number 2. He runs for 107 yards against the Raiders, and it was 90 yards against the Cardinals, 95 against the Chiefs, 110 against Pittsburgh. And then it was the 157-yard day against the Bengals that sort of, from an NFL awareness standpoint, it was like, oh, yeah, if Philip Lindsay is no longer available in your fantasy league.
Yeah, exactly. It was impressive.
Quite a story at the time, man. Quite a story.
It really was.
Uh-oh. All right. The Rockies are tied 2-2 with the Giants trying.
Frustrating, man. When you get to in the bottom half of the first, and then, you know, Freeland just gives it right back in the next inning.
Rockies trying to avoid losing their 13th consecutive game to the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, man.
One of the longest streaks in franchise history.
Sneaky big game here. Do they get back to 500?
We asked that question yesterday. James said
one
no.
day later and one more loss.
I know.
So now.
I know.
17-19, Zach. Two games under 500. Do they get back to 500?
No. Because of who's right around the corner after the Giants. It's the New York Mets, who's arguably, you know, the best team in baseball right now. You got three against them. And then you go on the road for seven. And I just, if I'm being real,
if
I'm being totally pragmatic, no, I don't think so. But here's the thing. If they have, this is literally a must win.
Yes, exactly. You're exactly right. Because if they lose this game, guess what? They're three games under 500. They're not playing catch up.
Not with the Mets on deck and followed by a seven-game road trip.
It ain't happening. So this is a must-win game, and I'm with you. They're not going to get back to 500, unfortunately. That's kind of what I'm seeing, and I can't hold my breath that they're going to win this stinking game.
The Avs prevail 3-2 in overtime to take game one. I was there. I'll share some of the thoughts from what it was like in the building and some of the other sights and sounds to start the second round coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
His shot tipsy. Bennington rebound. He got that one too. Kadri had the follow-up. Bennington fell over. Here's Manson. Bennington's reset. Manson scores! Josh Manson wins game one.
Oh, that's what it sounded like last night. Late night in overtime. About 8 minutes into the overtime, Josh Manson scoring his first career playoff goal in walk-off fashion in overtime in a round that has been a bugaboo for the Avs. I mean, Josh Manson, who wasn't a part of this team for the first portion of the season, he got picked up at the trade deadline. Not that it was like some earth-shattering move. It wasn't, you know, Patrick Kane, you know, wasn't a name like that coming here. So for some, I know it flew under the radar a little bit.
James
Maryland.
Didn't like it. So I'm really upset.
But we see this guy in a big-time moment. Really show some poise with just the way that he waited and pump faked to get the shot off. And that allowed for the proper screens in front.
I do to you on the basketball court. Pump, pump. Oh, yeah. Oh. Go around. Lay up. Go ahead. Sorry.
When? Do you want to play me one-on-one?
I don't. I saw your guy Jay the other day. They used to hoop.
Oh, yeah. Jay Cole.
Yeah.
Shout out.
And we're talking about it. He's like, why didn't... And, like, you're closer to his place now, but you kind of retired.
I live, like, around the corner from him.
Right.
Point six,
something. You have to understand how now you got to start playing old man basketball, not Mr. Hustle basketball, right? So you have to do that. You can still play basketball, but you just have to go to old man basketball, okay? So because, you know, you're getting old and you're injury prone now.
I am injury prone. I have that label.
Yeah,
I have that label.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah,
I'm the president of that. So you were there, obviously last night. The pump, like you said, poise, patience was just remarkable in that moment, and found a way to get it up there and had some good screens in front, all that stuff. But you were there again, three in a row for you.
Yeah,
you've seen two overtime.
How about that?
How about that? Two overtime wins, not losses, which. You can imagine, like, if you lose one of them, it's like walking out of the stadium like, this is just a big, you know what.
Yeah.
But winning them? Come on, man. It was
euphoric.
How was it?
Oh, it was euphoric. I mean, it was just, the place was just turned inside out. And I did not spend the 8 minutes of overtime with my phone out. I just wasn't going
to
do that.
I was about to ask you that. Like, how much were you on your phone recording stuff?
So I try to be conscious of, like, I want to be posting stuff on social media, but I also want to let myself just be in the moment and watch it with my eyes, not watching my screen pointed at the rink. But I got to a point, I'm like, this is going to happen here. And you know, it flips every period, and we're at the side where we only got the second period, which was the most action-packed period. So the other periods, the Avs are shooting at the far, you know, goal from where we were sitting. And I said, you know, I would like to get this, so I'm just going to try it. It was on the second time, the second possession that they came down. It was me, like, efforting, maybe it'll happen here. And it happened. The place becomes just undone. If you want to see the video, it's right at the top of my Twitter timeline. You can follow us on Twitter, at bstokely14. I am at Beisline. But it was just hilariously fun. It was a different type of game. It was very reminiscent of Game 2 against Nashville. The start of the game did not have a good feel to it. It just didn't. It was just slower pace than the Avs want to play. It was a lot of sitting on the puck from the Blues, maybe trying to reduce possessions. And it was more of like an approach of, hey, we're going to dump and chase, as opposed to, you know, trying to get the break going, going downhill. In the second period, that's when everything changed. But the only thing is, and, you know, people who watch the game like yourself know this by now, is like the dominant nature of the game was not reflected on the scoreboard, and I think that is coming in Game 2.
Hope you're right. You know, you hope that those pucks that hit the crossbar and didn't go in and just barely missed and great saves by their goalie, you know, kind of find the back of the net this time. And but it's a great way to start the series, get the win, because you're in a moment where you had it won after that great second. You held on in the third. You had opportunities in the third. Couple power plays to kind of put it away and a few other good looks that you just couldn't get that two-goal lead. So what do you do as a fan? You're nervous.
Sure.
So I'm very nervous the whole time. And sure enough, you get the power play. Holding. Like, bro, you're calling
soft call.
5 minutes left? That was that's holding?
Ticky-tack.
That's holding? Right? I mean, in that moment, like you said earlier, they were letting them play them for most of the game. That Avs, I think, had two or three power plays.
I think it might have just been. It wasn't three.
Avs had three power plays.
Was it three?
There you go. You're 0 for today. So it definitely wasn't three, but it was three,
well,
Zach.
Well, here's the thing. When you're in the building, you're not having the announcers like talk to you. You just kind of got to commit it to memory. And I knew there was one in regulation, and I knew there was one at the end of regulation that also started the OT, but I just didn't remember the
third. There was two there in the third, and they both looked awful. Both look, you know, unorthodox, couldn't keep the puck in the zone, couldn't even get any kind of rhythm going for the majority of them. So they looked way out of sorts, especially coming off of what they looked like against Nashville on their power play.
Right.
Where they were just seemed like they were going to score every time.
That's what it felt like.
And, you know, so you don't take advantage of those opportunities to get the two-goal lead. Then the holding call, they're on a power play, and it's like, huh, oh, we cleared the puck. There it goes to, like, 5-4. Like, it's clocking down. Like, oh, no, what are we doing? Changing. Boom, 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 tie. Are you serious right now? And so you hold your breath that you're going to just, the puck's going to bounce the wrong way, and they're going to end up getting a lucky goal, and you're going to lose the first game. Didn't happen. So, you know, all in all, no sweat, but I was nervous, man.
No sweat, but I was nervous.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were sweating just a little bit.
No sweat because you won is kind of where I'm getting at. Like, okay, it's all good now. I can take a deep breath. But, I was nervous there any time that they got the puck that – because it's –
that's the type of game it was. You were one mistake away from losing home ice advantage.
Right.
That's what happened.
And it wouldn't have been like, oh, my gosh, they can't win the series now. But it's just like
– here we go again.
Our history.
That's what it would have been. Here we go again in the second round. And you're right. And, you know, we went into this, we talked about this yesterday. Like, the one area where the Blues can really hurt you is on the power play. They're now 9-27 in the playoffs. That's, you know, one out of every three power plays they're converting, which was the exact ratio last night. So, yeah, I just add up the dynamics of it. And it's like, okay, you got down in the game early. You hit, you know, you look at the first period. Arturi Lehkonen hit the post. Nazem Kadri bangs one off the crossbar. Mikko bangs one off the crossbar. You got Binnington, you know, stopping 51 shots to become the fourth goaltender in Blues history to record 50 or more saves in a postseason game. They scored on their power play. I mean, they did a lot of the things that you would aim to do. Fast start, goalie playing at a high level, converting your power play, keep the Avs off the scoreboard. They did all of it and still lost. And I just, like, it felt like they didn't break through last night. It feels like that could be coming right around the corner. Mikko still needs to get, you know, I just can't believe he doesn't have a goal yet here in the playoffs. It was one of the better games I've seen Samuel Girard play. He got on the scoreboard for the Avs.
Well, he took a puck to the, I think it was him, it took a puck to the ankle.
On a block shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh, and he kind of was stumbling off the ice. I don't know if it was overtime or the third there, when exactly it was, but that could not feel good. You take the puck straight to the ankle.
Yeah, and that's what you're trying to do. Like, you're trying to block that shot.
Yeah.
Which is like...
But not on your ankle bone.
Yeah, right.
My question is, you know, moving forward with how their power play looked last night and how it looked against Nashville, what's going to be, you know, the next step for the Avs? What adjustment do they make now with
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Loma, Denver?
You can't do that.
Look at you. Look at the look on your face. The bewilderment.
That.
The bewilderment.
And y'all two clowns yesterday. I'm sitting in the car. I'm driving, you know, trying to get to my tea time. And y'all two guys don't even know what's going on.
Look at you try to... I mean, pivot away from just happened.
Right, because you just interrupted me when I was trying to make a good point.
Welcome to the club.
And see what kind of adjustment that the Avs are going to make with their power play, because it didn't look the same.
It was one of those. They didn't even
get... You interrupted all day today.
They didn't get set up.
You're a bad co-host, and I'm sorry that I have you for a co-host, and I'm disappointed in you.
James, anytime you want to walk away, James can just step in. And
yeah, it's like LeBron and Westbrook.
That was the bitterness, because he lost the legal ID.
And now he becomes mean-spirited.
What you're supposed to do.
Whole different guy.
Right. Yeah. I don't like to lose, and I don't like to be interrupted.
And you also lost paper, rock, scissors. Had to go in the basement and get my lunch.
I did.
The interruption rule.
So fetch me my lunch.
I do think the interruption rule needs to come back. Because part of the game was, you look at like 56-50, and it's like, can you kill a minute 10 making a point without, you know, just meandering? That was part of the game, that you couldn't interrupt the guy. It had to be your turn on the mic. So,
well,
you know, just
that
throwing
was
it out there.
Stokely's heavy-handed approach
to
it.
He would jump in and dunk on me all the time, and it just became anarchy.
Right. If you leave an opening, you can take it. You know, if you give a pause, you can take it. But if you're actually talking... And then, you know, that's you know,
subjective,
crossing
though.
A line there. But that's the only way Zach can win nowadays.
James.
Cross lines.
Josh Manson.
Yeah.
Josh Manson.
You were down on that move, I heard.
I was.
Anymore, right?
Well, you know, I was being told that it was a significant move at the deadline. Was it a significant move? I mean, he had a huge goal last night, and at the end of this... run, if they have a parade, we're going to remember that as one of the signature moments, right? It was helping him get the overtime win in game one against St. Louis. So for, I guess, that moment it was. But has it been that big of an impact? Is it going to make that big of an impact over the course of the entire playoff run? We'll see. But man, that was awesome last night.
Just game winner, you know?
And he was mic'd up last night, too, which was cool. Have you seen that?
Dude! Hey, Dante, can you grab that from the DMs? The Josh Manson mic'd up. That is, so I have not heard it. It came out in, get out of here, Stokely.
You're done. Get the F out of here.
Just gave me that Bruce Arians.
Hey, how many Pedialytes does he need a day? Goodness gracious.
Well, I mean, got to balance out a ratio from the night before.
This is daily. Holy cow.
He's got, yeah, multiple Pedialytes.
I mean, he's got two full-size Pedialytes over there.
It doesn't take a detective to put it all together.
Oh, my gosh. Man, guys, that was so fun last night.
I bet.
It was so fun. I just, it's hard not to just get swept up in it. Are we doing game two, Tyler?
If you're in, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in. I just got to get it cleared at home, but I think I'm in.
All right. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You think you're in? You were making this big claim yesterday that you were going to do the mini DMAC and do the whole playoffs.
I didn't make a big claim. That's what I'm going to aim to do.
Just so you know, I am totally okay with limping into the building. Like, I don't have to spend the $300 and some, right? I don't need
the
best.
I didn't
say your specific tickets. I just said I don't need $300 tickets. That's all I implied, right?
I didn't buy them.
Okay.
I was told the price, like, when they were purchased.
All right.
Like, hey,
I mean,
here's our ticket.
You know, if that's what you get, I mean, I won't say no, but just know that I'm okay with limping into the building.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fellas.
Hey, I almost said Sierra. Did Russell Wilson have a box to himself?
Dude, so Stokely brought that up, too. By the way, I didn't realize when he was sitting courtside at the Nuggets game, they have the seats to the left and right of them bought.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
No one can sit there.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but that was the case. He was up in the box, but he was in the box alone.
There seriously wasn't a single other person. Now, they didn't show him a lot, so I don't know if, like, the entire box happened to go get food at the same time. But the one time that I noticed, I mean, it was literally him in that box nobody else.
I know.
Okay, it was weird. It was weird.
This is a little bothersome. Right?
Like it is.
It's a little like, is elitist the right word? But you're kind of positioning yourself as, hey, I'm part of the community. I'm man amongst the people. Well, you're not really if you have separation. I mean, other than having like Secret Service agents, it's like having, you know, the president or the vice president or some head of state there. Like, come on, man. I know you make a lot of money and your wife's famous, but you're a football player. You're in the town. Like, you're at a sporting event. Like, let's be a part of it.
Okay, so the court side, I actually get that one. Okay, the court side one, that's a little bit tough. You're sitting down there. Everybody's got easy access to you. Just, you know, give me a little bit of buffer here, a little bit of personal comfort zone. But a box? I mean, a box, like, you don't have buddies? Like, your offensive linemen don't want to go?
I saw Reisner there.
What, was he?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, by the way,
not
I don't
in the
know
box. He was sitting over near where we were sitting.
I don't know for a fact that nobody was in the box all night long. I'm just saying the one shot that I saw, it was weird to see him by himself.
But we've seen Peyton Manning, one, courtside, right? He was there with Stoke, and there were people sitting next to them. There weren't buffer seats. We've seen him in years past where he was up in the stands, you know, like the fifth row or whatever.
No, it was like the 10th row.
So, yeah. You know, just kind of not a normal seat. It was an expensive seat, but not courtside.
Yeah.
And there certainly were people around him. So if Peyton Manning can get away with just sitting in amongst the people and not be bothered the entire game, Russell Wilson's a bigger celebrity than Peyton Manning. I'm not buying that at all.
No, I'm not claiming that. I'm not claiming that. But I do understand, like, a little personal buffer zone. That's nice. But hey, when you go sit courtside, you know exactly what you're signing up for, right?
It's a little like Howard Hughes eccentric, can't be around people's, like, it's overly eccentric to me. It seems odd.
I will just share with you, and Tyler, I know it's something that you already know. After the years stacked up, this is what drove people crazy about Russell in Seattle.
Oh, no, there's no question about it. I know that for a fact.
I know you do.
I know plenty of guys that played with him. You know, I missed Russell Wilson by 1 year. When I left, he came in the next year, which means I've got a lot of friends that ended up playing with him, lot of former teammates. Nobody dislikes Russell Wilson, but there was a separation. Are we dudes or not? Like, are we in the crew or not? Right? And that box thing, that was a little bit weird. But to his credit, he's brought Garrett Bowles. He's brought guys to the Nuggets game and in the box. So he has done that previously. Just last night, that looked weird.
Thanks to all our listeners in Arvada for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day.
Shout out.
It's a sign if you're a local or not, how you pronounce Arvada.
There you go. Arvada.
Yeah.
Arvada.
Arvada. You just
Arvada,
moved here.
Right.
You're part of the California invasion. It's a telltale sign.
Yes. Yes.
You guys have fun, man.
All right. So are you handling tickets? I'm sending you a Venmo. Is that what we're doing?
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
All right. I'm going to give you the freedom to decide where we're sitting. Okay.
All right.
And then all I got to do, I just want to Venmo you. All right. Right. Can we just work that out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, cool. Zach. You stayed through overtime. You were there for the moment in your seat.
I have the video of it up on my Twitter.
Okay, people going crazy.
Oh, it was so fun.
How does it rank in terms of sporting events you've been to just as a fan, just hanging out?
Right near the top. I wouldn't say it's at the top. I mean, that was a really, really cool moment. Top three. I'll remember it forever. It was wildly entertaining, the angst and the nervous energy in the building compared to the overtime win against Nashville in game two. So in two of these three playoff games in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, like, we've had two overtime games. But the angst in this one, because, like, it never felt like – because the overtime game two was on the heels of a 7-2. It never felt as stressful as it felt – last night.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a little, you could tell it wasn't like excited energy. It was angst. It was nervous energy.
Yeah, I was nervous sitting at home just watching that thing. I mean, shoot, they were dominating, outright dominating that game from start to finish. Even in the first, a lot of people said they looked so rusty. And okay, I guess they had some posts, if you want to call that rusty, I guess. They were dominating from the beginning to the end. And overtime, what was it? They had like 13 shots on net, right?
It was 13-0.
Shots on goal. That was domination, but at the same time, it felt like, holy cow, seriously, you know, all it takes is one stupid play, one stupid goal, and the Avalanche could lose a game that they should have won.
Well, and I think that ties into the second round jinx, Zach, that you and I talked about yesterday, right? Of like, wouldn't that have felt like the latest chapter in it of you outshoot your opponent by 30 shots and you're down 1-0 in the series and you lose at home because you hit the post 5 times?
Yeah.
It just sort of felt like if you're a fatalist like maybe I am or believe in Murphy's Law or think here we go again, like it was stacking up that that's what we were coming in here to talk about today.
Yep.
So it was nice that it did not go that direction. But when it finally went in, it was more of a phew
yes.
for
yeah.
me
yes.
than a celebration. Yes.
All right, so I have to get the heck out of here. I got to go bring my son to a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
But I did just get a text message, totally unsolicited, and I can't emphasize that enough, based on the conversation we were having about Russ and how it looked like.
Wow, all right. I'm curious.
This is someone, and I'm not going to say his name because I just don't know if he wants me to say his name, but this is someone who is very connected in the community. He's connected. You guys know him. He said, listening to y'all, he, Russ, had a couple people from his marketing group in the box, but he did have the arena set up a plexiglass barrier between his and the one next to him, which no suite has that in the building.
No way.
That's
for reals? Oh, my gosh.
And look, you're entitled to do whatever you want, but by the same token, if you do those kind of things, we're entitled to go, huh, is that a little weird, and what does that mean, and what is that saying? Like, that's kind of elitist. That's kind of a,
it is.
Hey, I got to separate myself from the normal people, from the fans, from the, you know, Joe Public who's in the arena. So it's eccentric. And I said yeah. Howard Hughes because that's the name that pops to my head. But
look,
like,
it doesn't make him a bad guy.
No,
it doesn't make him a bad guy. It doesn't make him a bad teammate. It doesn't make him anything bad at all. But it's a little something, right? Peyton Manning sits in the eighth row.
Right.
and we're getting plexiglass dividers put up. Is that too? Wow. Are we sure you're good on that one? You feel confident on that one, Zach? Thumbs up.
That is.
I can't. I just got the text message. I just know the guy that is very connected and works with a ton of Broncos through the years and has even been in the studio with other Broncos.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, and look, there's any number of explanations for it, right? Like, maybe he's a germaphobe.
Yeah.
And to go out in public, and especially nowadays, he wants to make sure that there's nobody near him when he's sitting courtside, and he puts up the plexiglass.
They had to break Stokely's studio to get him in here with Zach, right?
We certainly have seen plenty of plexiglass in the last 2 years, so it's not that strange. But when other athletes, and the most prominent athlete living in this town right now is Peyton Manning, the most prominent athlete in the last 10 years has been Von Miller. He just sits courtside and it was no big deal. It does make you wonder.
Would Russell go to the game? Would he go to a Nuggets game if it was in the second row?
Oh,
serious?
Man.
I'm serious.
So it's courtside or it's box. Is that what you're saying? I think I agree. Yeah, I do. I think the answer is no. No, he would not.
And maybe, look, we're probably finding things to nitpick about at this point.
Look, if I had that kind of money, I wish I could do those sort of things too, right?
Yeah, but if you had that kind of money, would you?
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.